Good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, it's a privilege and an honor for me to come before you and to present the message from the Almighty God. I want to thank you all, especially those who are joining us from outside of our congregation, those from outside of the state and maybe from outside of the country. We're indeed honored and blessed to have you in our presence, and we do hope and trust that your hearts will continue to be blessed as we have been led in the wonderful songs by Brother EJ and the prayer that has been said. We are so thankful for these blessings that we have received. Again, I want to thank Brother Shelton for reading for us 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. It's a rather interesting passage, and I do hope that you'll have that passage marked in your Bibles. Now, keep in mind that 2 Chronicles, that book is a continuation of 1 Chronicles. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew Bible, there's only one Chronicles. You know, both books are combined, but they are separated here just because the books are fairly long and they have been separated into two. So when you read 2 Chronicles, you're actually continuing where 1 Chronicles ended. And here we find Solomon is about to take over the reign from his father David. So David had been king over Israel, and now the baton is about to be passed on to his son Solomon. Now, if you have read anything about Israel's history, you would readily conclude that Israel was not the easiest of people to lead. This was a kind of people who would grumble, who would complain, even against the Almighty God himself. And despite the fact that David had led Israel in becoming the single most powerful nation at that time, Israel was still prone to complain and to be a very difficult people to lead. And so the Bible tells us that as Solomon prepared himself to take over the reign, that he prayed to God and responded to God, who asked him, "Solomon, what do you want me to give you?" And the Bible tells us that Solomon requested knowledge and wisdom. You see, knowledge is the ability to gather and understand facts. Wisdom is the ability to apply those facts to any particular situation. In other words, you know what to do and you know how to do it. That's wisdom. So he prayed for knowledge, and he also prayed for wisdom. And who wouldn't? As a matter of fact, God was so pleased with Solomon that the Bible tells us that God said, "Listen, you have asked for what most men would not have asked for. Most men would have asked for riches. Most would have asked for honor, for victory over their enemies. But instead, you have asked for knowledge and wisdom." Not only did God bless him with those that he had requested, but Solomon went on to be the first one to erect the temple of God. David couldn't do it. God did not allow him to do it. But God allowed Solomon to erect the temple. This was something that was being talked about, was desired by David all the way in 1 Chronicles. For about 19 chapters, it was all about the desire to build the temple. And here we find Solomon now finally building the temple that God had promised the Israelites. And Solomon went on to reign for 60 years. 60 years. Must not have been easy. But when God has blessed you with wisdom, then no doubt you're able to reign much easier than without the wisdom that many of us crave after. But the point is that, yes, Solomon was able to reign for 60 years over the Israelites before they eventually broke into two kingdoms. It ought to be clear to us, brothers and sisters, it ought to be clear to us that in navigating the difficulties of this life, if we're going to do that successfully, we're going to need some wisdom. Because we make so many mistakes, and that is why wisdom is so much needed. I want to spend the next few minutes talking to you on the subject, wanted wisdom among us. Wanted wisdom among us. Why is wisdom so important? Why is this so important? We have heard about this so many times. No doubt many lessons have been taught and have been preached on this very same subject. But why is wisdom so important? Well, I said earlier on that we are prone to mess up. We mess up so often. We make foolish decisions that many of us have lived to regret. And because life is like that, we make so many mistakes. Wisdom now comes into play. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a really bad decision that even to this day, you're looking back and you're regretting? Have you? Well, you know, that's the nature of man. In Proverbs 16, verse 25, the Bible says, it tells us that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. In other words, we think that going a particular direction, doing a particular thing is the right way, only to realize that it was anything but the right way. Well, take for example, the present coronavirus. We have been advised by the medical experts to wear a mask when going out in public, to practice social distancing, and to avoid as much as possible large gatherings. We have been advised to wash our hands thoroughly and frequently so as to protect ourselves and to protect others against this deadly virus. Now, what we do find, though, is that people have been giving reasons why they don't want to wear the mask. Some have said, well, I will not wear the mask because it makes me look like a terrorist. Well, some have said, well, I refuse to wear it because it diminishes my masculinity. Another said, well, it infringes on my constitutional rights. In other words, we have politicized what should have been a common sense decision. But I guess common sense is not so common anymore. And while many have complied, many have rebelled against this. Even many who are in positions of authority. This is just simply mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Just last week, a few days ago in Florida, there was a march against wearing masks, with the crowd chanting, "My body, my choice." Now that tells you where we are at. It tells you. It gets even better, so to speak. Because just recently, some young people in Alabama were having parties. They call it COVID-19 parties, where people who were infected were invited to the party. And the first person to get infected by those folks would get the prize money. Now, you may think that we're making this thing up. My friend, you cannot make this up. This was confirmed by the officials in Alabama. Now, you know, you and I thought, this was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Now, you and I thought that this generation would have been the wisest of all the generations that have existed. Not so. Not so, my friend. In California, a man who tested positive for coronavirus after attending a party expressed his fear and his regret a day before he died. Listen what he said. He said, "Because of my stupidity, I put my mom and sisters and my family's health in jeopardy." He said that, and the following day, he died. You know what? If you have not become wiser by the fact that 2.8 million Americans have been infected by this virus and over 130,000 have died, if you have not become wiser by these statistics, then your chances of becoming wise is very slim. Very slim. Also, let's take another example. And this is not a hypothetical case. This is what is happening among us, my friend. You get a phone call saying that you are the winner of $100,000. And for you to receive this $100,000, you're going to have to send $5,000 to release the $100,000 that you have won in a competition that, guess what, you never entered into. And you know the rest of the story that is concerned. There are a lot of con artists and scammers around, male and female. lot of scam artists out there. The Federal Trade Commission, FTC, says that in 2018, 1.5 million fraud reports were made to the organization. And listen to this now, $1.5 billion were scammed from Americans. $1.5 billion. Let that sink in. Why am I saying all of these things? I'm saying it, my friend, because I want you to realize that wisdom is an endangered species among us. It is. It is said that only a fool learns from his own mistake. The wise man learns from the mistake of others. And we need to sit down and say, well, you know what? I'm looking at others. And I'm going to learn from what? It seems as if many of us will never learn until we ourselves are exposed to some of these foolish decisions. This is supposed to be, as I said before, the most informed generation. It is the age of information. The most informed generation in the history of mankind. But it is clear that wisdom is badly needed as it was in need back in olden days. But it leads me to my second point. What then are the benefits of wisdom? What are the benefits of wisdom? You know, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Romans 11 and verse 33, the Bible says, oh, Paul says, oh, the depth, this is like a doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. In other words, what Paul was doing, he was singing the praises of God's wisdom and knowledge. When he looked back and reminisced on what God had done and the decisions God had made, he could not help but describe the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of the Almighty God. If God then is the source of divine wisdom, if God is the source of ultimate wisdom, then it behooves us to seek God for the wisdom that is needed today. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Look at what Paul says. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says,
desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm.
And so here we find that Paul really wants us to understand how important it is that we learn about the wisdom of the Almighty God. So in 1 Timothy 1 verse 17 it says,
now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever.
Oh,
amen.
I hope you saw that. The King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise. You know, when someone says that he doesn't need wisdom, that's a clear confession that he needs wisdom. You know that. God alone is wise. What are the benefits of spiritual wisdom then? Well, we need spiritual wisdom from God. You know why? So that when we have this wisdom, we will admit when we are wrong and take responsibility, because we know that we are prone to making mistakes. When a man is wise, he's willing to admit and apologize because he knows that he is vulnerable to mistakes. You know, in Jamaica, there's a proverb that says, the higher the monkey climb, the more he's exposed. But we need spiritual wisdom because spiritual wisdom teaches us to forgive others when they have wronged us. Really? Yes. You know why? Because we too depend on God to forgive us who we wrong on a daily basis. In other words, the Bible tells us that we receive forgiveness from God because we forgive others. So a wise man knows that he should not withhold forgiveness, but that he forgives others who have wronged him because God keeps on forgiving him. That's what spiritual wisdom teaches. Well, spiritual wisdom teaches us to love people regardless of their color or creed. We don't strive to love people because of what we can get from them or merely because they look like us. No, we love people because we know that God's love is one that is unconditional. That's the agape love the Bible talks about. But that's what spiritual wisdom teaches. The wisdom of the world says, love only those who are like you, the same educational background, same color of skin, and you name it. But spiritual wisdom says your love must transcend every border. That's spiritual wisdom. You know what the spiritual wisdom teaches, my friend? It teaches us never to rejoice over another man's demise. Don't. Yes, I know sometimes the temptation is there, that when our enemy has fallen, we rejoice. Thank you, Lord. That's the temptation. Spiritual wisdom teaches us never to rejoice because our day will come when we too will fall. Do you remember that? Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. We have been studying that in our Bible class. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we never rejoice in another man's demise because we know that it's only a matter of time before we too will fall. Oh, wherefore let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. That's what Paul said. Spiritual wisdom teaches us to fear God and respect God. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Oh, this is a verse of scripture that I want to encourage you to make sure that you have written down in the holy book. In Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 10. Listen what the wise man thunders to us saying.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
What? This is what we call a proverb. It's a principle of life. One of the principles of life we find in the scriptures has been taught to us by the giver of spiritual wisdom, and that's God. He says the fear of the Lord through Solomon is the beginning of wisdom. A man cannot say that he's wise until he begins to fear God and serve him. If you have not been doing that, then you are not being wise. You're not being wise. Why do we need spiritual wisdom? Because spiritual wisdom teaches us to honor and serve our Maker, because it is He that makes us and not we ourselves. It is He that sustains us and not we ourselves. It is He that provides for us and not we ourselves. And every day that we wake up, it is because of the sustaining power of God. Every morning we're able to inhale and exhale. It is not because we have been so skillful with life. It is because God has extended our days through His power on the face of this earth. Wisdom, an endangered species, it is wanted. Thirdly, who then needs wisdom? And how do we get it? Who needs it and how do we get it? Well, you know, there was a time when we'd say young people are the ones who need wisdom. But if you do just a cursory glance of the landscape, you will conclude with me that everybody needs it. There was a time when we say, well, you know, wisdom comes with age. But it seems as if nowadays age is showing up by itself. There's a need for wisdom among right across the spectrum of society. Even if you're up in age, you need God's wisdom. Amen. If you're young, you need God's wisdom. Because all of us have messed up, and brace yourself, there's a lot more messing up to come. We're going to need God to guide us. So, Job, when Job was in his dilemma, you know, lost his family, lost his health, lost his wealth, in Job 12 and verse 12, the Bible says that Job's friends came over. And they came over to try and explain to Job why he was going through what he was going through. So they were appearing as if they were wise, telling him this and telling him that. Be careful of those who come with many words. And his friends came over with many words, and Job responded, "Is not age found or wisdom found among the aged?" You know what he was saying here? You guys are up in age. You ought to be wise. But you are here. All I see is age, but I don't see wisdom. And then he says, "Does not long life bring understanding?" But where's your understanding? Where is your wisdom? In other words, brothers and sisters, not because someone is up in age means that he or she is necessarily wise. Wisdom, ultimate wisdom, comes from the Almighty God. That's what I'm saying. How do we get it? How do we get wisdom that is so much needed today? Well, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, listen what Paul told his young protege, Timothy.
"And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus."
No, did you see what Paul said there? That the holy scriptures, Timothy, are able to make you wise. So you don't go to the psychic reader. You don't rely on Hollywood. You don't rely on anything other than the Word of God. It teaches us how to be wise. And that's what he told Timothy. "You from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." James chapter 1. Because James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that there's another way that we get wisdom. Not just reading the Word of God, but James 1 verse 5 says what?
"If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him."
Oh, do you see that now? Pray for it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Pray. Oh God, give me wisdom as I'm about to make this decision. Don't make it and then ask for wisdom, as we sometimes do. If you lack it, ask of God, who gives to all, as Brother E.J. read for us, liberally, without reproach, he says, and it will be given to you. Read verse 6 for me, my brother, and tell us what it says.
"But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed."
So let him ask in faith. Ask for what? Wisdom. By praying. How? Let him ask in faith. Not wavering. And that wisdom that you need, and I'm sure many of us have some decisions that we need to make. Shortly, maybe this week, maybe next week. Some very important decision. Can I encourage you, my friend, to seek God in prayer, that he will bless you with the wisdom to make the right decision? How do we get it? Well, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 tells us that there's another way in which we get this wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9, a passage that I think many of us are familiar with. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, it says what?
"Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest."
Oh, so here he's saying, through life's experiences, we gain wisdom. You know, when you and I die and the body goes into the grave, there's nothing else that can be done. That body doesn't know what is happening under the sun. As a matter of fact, that body rots away, the Bible tells us. Whatever you're going to learn it while you are alive now. And if you miss it, then you won't get a second chance. This is it. You observe and learn by observing. So we learn, we gain wisdom by observing life. And how many have lived their lives. Whatever your hands find to do, he says, do with it with all your might, because there's no work or no device or knowledge or wisdom that can ever be done or be found in the grave. So this is it. And so as I conclude my lesson this morning, my challenge is to you. Are you wise? Are you making wise decisions right now? If you're not a child of God, you know what the Bible says? In Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool said in his heart, there's no God. If you are not serving God, you are in essence saying that there's no God. And we know what the Bible says of anyone who says and lives his life as if there's no God. He's a fool. He's not wise. If you're a member who has become unfaithful and you have drifted away from the church and you no longer have that relationship with God, you cannot find a more foolish decision, because when a man abandons his relationship with God, please tell me, where is he going to go? What better alternative is there when he abandons his relationship with God? So can I encourage you, my friend? If you're a member of the church, but you have become unfaithful, that you get back on track, that you renew your commitment to God, that you say to yourself, and you say to the Almighty God, that as far as I'm concerned, from this day onward, no retreat, no surrender. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can get out of that foolish state by declaring that, listen, I want to become a child of God. And to do that, you need to hear the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. You need to believe that message. Unless you do that, you will die in your sins, John 8 and verse 24. You must repent of your sins. Unless you do that, you shall die in your sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse 5. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And be baptized in water, which brings you in contact spiritually with the blood of Jesus Christ. And then your sins can be forgiven and be washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. And then you must remain faithful until you die, because it is then and only then that you will see that crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Is that your call today? At this time, my brother EJ will lead us in a song.
'Tis so sweet to trust.